PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehong.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and it's very nice to have you with us for another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. For this, the 25th of March, 2018. The 25th of March. We're almost at the end of March, and we actually have a couple of special things coming up, but I'll tell you about them after we take a listen to our first piece of music today, The Seekers, and I'll Never Find Another You. Seekers, and I'll Never Find Another You. Last week on the program, to my surprise, completely out of the blue, well, of course, that would be a surprise, wouldn't it, if it is out of the blue. But anyway, if you had tuned in, I was talking about my days at China Radio International when I was presenting a program on the domestic service and played an excerpt of a program that I did 7 days a week from 2 until 5 p.m., sorry, 1 to 4, 5 p.m. every day. And got an email from one of my old listeners from all that time ago, which was very surprising. And Tsui, thank you very much for getting in touch with me. You said in your email that, wow, you actually were surprised to come across this program saying that you had found some other archive programs that I did at China Radio International. Well, thank you very much. And by the way, yes, to your question. The question that she had asked was, when I was doing the program on the domestic service of China Radio International, do I remember the song that I would play at the end of every program on Friday? Of course I do. I think we've even played it here on this program a few times. So I thought, well, for you, Tsui, for getting in touch with us, let's play it again today. It's The Cure and Friday, I'm in Love. The Cure and Friday I'm in Love, a song that I used to end with on China Radio International every Friday at just at about 5 minutes to five. And yes, actually, thank you very much for to Tsui actually for contacting me after all these years, asking if I remember the song. Of course, I remember the song. She also told me in the email that there are some other things that she also has from that period that she had recorded off air, and I wrote back to her saying, well, I'm just curious, like, why did you record the programs off air? And she said, well, either because she couldn't listen when the program was going out live, and at the time, unlike today, of course, it's very easy to find programs that are archived, even this one. Back then, of course, it was impossible. It was a live program, so it went out, and that was it. But she managed to record it. I don't know how she did it. And she said, actually, she still has some of them in her collection at home. So I've asked her to send them along to me, because I'm really interested to find out which ones they are, because there were some programs that we did. I remember... So I will remember this because I think you were in the audience and you'd brought some friends along. We were recording on Wang Fujin Street. It was an on-location show that we did in the afternoon. That was a lot of fun because it wasn't just myself. It was also Rick O'Shea, who did Joy FM. Corey was there, who did the 11 to 1 p.m. program. And some other ones as well. So if that's the one that you have, actually send that along. I do have some video. I used to, I should say, have some video of that program. I no longer have it. But anyway, that is neither here nor there. Anyway, you are listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Time for more music now. And when we come back, we're going to go into the archives with a very interesting program, this time from Radio Canada International. But first, Long John Baldry and Let the Heartaches Begin. John Baldry and Let the Heartaches Begin here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. We're now going to go into the archives with a very interesting program. As we have talked about many times on the program before, various international broadcasters had transcription services. I think a few weeks ago we talked about the transcription service of Polish Radio International, and we played an excerpt of one of the programs that was especially made for radio stations outside of Poland that came from the 1970s. Well, another international broadcaster that also had an extensive transcription service at one time was Radio Canada International. Now, Radio Canada International had a wide variety of programs. Some of the programs were spoken word and were programs that were especially recorded for the transcription service. Others were of very well-known Canadian musicians and international musicians that were traveling in Canada that were recorded especially for Radio Canada International in Montreal of very often more unusual Canadian composers from the classical genre, and also a number of jazz recordings made by Radio Canada International. In fact, in the late 1980s, Radio Canada International put out a 4-CD box set called An Anthology of Canadian Jazz that also featured people like Oscar Peterson, of recordings made especially for Radio Canada International between the 1940s up to the late 1980s. Now, every now and again, Radio Canada International would find very well-known literary works from Canada and have them narrated by well-known voice actors in Canada. One of those voice actors is somebody actually, well, people in Canada may have never even heard the name, heard his name, that is, when he was alive, but surely have heard his voice at some point or another. His name is Rod Conybeare. Rod Conybeare, he lived on the east coast of Canada, I believe in Halifax, in Nova Scotia. And for many years, he was the voice of Rusty and Jerome on the CBC television children's series, The Friendly Giant. Now, he'd also done a lot of voice work on animated programs and so many other projects for the CBC. But he actually made one for Radio Canada International. It's the well-known tale, How the Loon Got Its Necklace. How the Loon Got Its Necklace, from 1976, from Radio Canada International.
Of Shulus, on the banks of the Nicola River, there lived long ago an old blind medicine man named Kilora. Because of his blindness, he was miserably poor, hardly able to support himself and his wife. Though he called himself a medicine man, he really did little. but dream. In the summer, he would sit all day long in the shade of the trees, and in winter he would sun himself with his back propped against the house, wrapped in a tattered blanket of groundhog skins to keep out the cold. Now and then his wife would scold him for his idleness. A medicine man? You a medicine man? Nobody ever comes to you unless every other healer he has heard of has failed. Didn't seem to mind at all. He just sat staring up at the sun as though he had not heard a word of what she had said. There was only one sound that was sure to rouse him, and that was the cry of the loon, the strangest and perhaps the most lovely of all woodland sounds. Whenever he heard it, a great restlessness seemed to seize him. His blind hands would fumble for his stick, and then he would start off, groping his way along the little trail beside the creek that flows out of Mamat Lake. Sometimes he was gone for days, and when he returned, tired out, half-starved, stained with mud where he had stumbled on the way, he would say nothing of where he had been.
I have been talking with my father, the loon,
he would explain patiently, and that was all. After a long, wet autumn, it happened that there was a very poor crop of the berries the Indians used to dry for their winter food. And then a very hard, cold season began. Every day the men came home to the village from their hunting with almost no game. The older men met together and wondered whether they should send some young men to nearby villages and even as far away as Kamloops in Lytton, to Tlemcen and even to Lillooet to try to buy food. One day, after the hunters had come home again empty-handed, old Kailura spoke to the chief.
Tell your young men and the hunters to be on their guard, he said. The wolves are hungry too, just as we are, for they have killed all the game in the valley. Soon they will come right into the village and try to steal the children. ¶¶
chief, worried and anxious, turned away from the old blind man.
Go back to your dreaming, he laughed. I have no time for the chatter of fools. Go back to your medicine-making and listen for the call of the loon.
The wolves grew bolder and bolder. Grown men were no longer safe alone, but had to hunt in pairs. Traps were set and deadfalls built. Many wolves were killed, but their numbers hardly seemed to grow less. The people were becoming very much afraid, and there was even talk of abandoning the whole village of Shulus and moving somewhere else, an almost unheard-of thing to do, especially in the dead of winter. Old Kaelora said this would not be wise, and this time the chief listened to him.
Do you think we could move more quickly than the wolves could follow us?
He asked, and he was quite plainly right. True, the people admitted, but what are we to do? We are starving, and our children are starving with us. Old Kaelora knew now that the time for which he had waited so long had come at last. If the village could be saved at all, it would be by Kaelora's use of his own powers of magic. Carefully, he felt his way down to the frozen river's edge, where the village sweat houses stood on the sandy bank. Four times he steamed himself in the sweat house, and four times he plunged into the ice-cold river. Then he made his way home, put on his sacred collar of dentellium shells, and sang aloud his mystical song. Strung his magical bow and picked out four arrows with their sharp stone tips. Hardly had he finished getting ready when he heard a shout. Once more, the wolves were coming right into the village, hoping to steal some uncared-for child. In strong, clear tones, old Kaelora told his wife to lead him quickly toward the wolves. She was so surprised that she obeyed without thinking. As soon as they appeared in the village street, there were shouts of laughter. Are you going to throw him to the wolves? They asked. Take him back home. What does he know about shooting wolves?
Pay no attention to them,
Kaelora ordered her.
But point my arrow toward the biggest wolf. Carefully now, as though you yourself were going to shoot.
All right. Up a little, she said. A little more to this side. So, now, let fly your arrow.
Swift and true went the arrow, straight to the flank of a huge wolf, hiding in a little patch of brush. Look, look, cried the people who had been watching. What a shot! No ordinary man could shoot like that, even if he could see properly. Kaelora must be a magician, a great magician. We shall all be saved, thanks to Kaelora, the magician. The old man said nothing, but turned back to his home. For the rest of the winter, Whenever the wolves were seen, he would go out to the edge of the village. Always he made his wife get his aim straight, and always he killed the wolf he shot at. At last they drew off, looking for safer hunting grounds, and once more the village hunters were able to bring back game. During the next summer, old Kalora decided to go once more to visit his guardian spirit, the loon. He walked for miles in the distant hills till the day was nearly done. He paused in thought, and then he felt the warmth of the setting sun on his left cheek. "So," he murmured to himself, "then the little lake I once knew so well should lie right ahead of me, just a little way over the top of the sloping ground." Suddenly, as if to prove that he was right, he heard the long-drawn, quavering cry of the loon. Slowly and cautiously, he made his way forward, his feet tripped by roots, his face scratched by the underbrush. At last, as the sun sunk lower, the rank, lush smell of the lake grew strong, and he heard the plop of a frog as it jumped into the water. Soon he felt the damp earth sink slightly beneath his moccasins, and, bending down, he touched with his fingertips the cool, still water. Kalora drew himself to his full height as he stood facing the lake, his own lake, as he always called it. He lifted his hand to his throat to make sure he still had his sacred collar of dentalium shells, and he sang once more the sacred song he had learned near this very spot so long ago. Then he called aloud.
"Oh, my father, the loon,"
he cried.
"Come to me now. Help me, my father."
Close by his feet, a voice answered him. "What is it that my son desires?"
"I am blind, my father, and I wish to see."
"Climb then upon my back," said the loon. Awkwardly, Kalora seated himself on the bird's back. "Now, clasp me tightly and hold your breath," cried the loon, and he dived deep into the waters of the lake and swam swiftly and strongly to the other side. "Can you see now, my son?" he asked.
"I see, but not as a man should see, for there is still a thick fog over my eyes."
"Hold tight once more," cried the loon, and again they plunged deep into the water. Four times in all they swam below the surface from side to side of the lake.
Now I see. I see. And it is as if I had never known blindness, cried Kaelora.
He turned to give thanks to the one who had made him see again. But there was nobody there at all. Just a loon swimming quietly on the still water. None but the dearest of all his treasures would be enough. Old Kaelora took off the collar of little white shells and with a wide sweep of his arm tossed it gently towards the loon. Spinning slowly as it sailed through the air, the collar wrapped itself round the bird's throat, making the shining white necklace we see there today. A handful of shells, which broke away from the string, fell scattered on the loon's back. These two you may see on any loon.
How the Loon Got Its Necklace Back, Ron Conybeare, recorded for Radio Canada International. And we will make that program available at our Patreon page very soon, so you can download it, along with some others that he had especially recorded for Radio Canada International from the RCI Bureau that was located in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I had to make a little small correction because I said that he's still alive today, and he lives in Belleville, Ontario. He's 87 years old, and his birthday is coming up very soon. It actually is March 31st. Some other animated programs that he actually worked on were Avalanche, the voice of Avalanche in the X-Men animation series. And I'm reading actually the list, and it's a very, well, it's quite big. I don't think we can get to every single one. I don't think we ever will, because it's a, sort of like a what of animation and children's programs, the legendary and still alive Rod Conybeare. You are listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Here is Love Profusion, Madonna.
There are too many questions. There is not one solution. There is no resurrection. There is so much confusion. And the love profusion, you make me feel. I have lost my illusions. What I want
skin. I got you under my skin. I got you under my skin. I got you under my skin. There is no comprehension. There is real isolation. There is so much destruction. What I want is a celebration. And I know skin. I got you under my skin. I got you under my skin. I got you under my skin.
Keith Perron, host of the Happy Station Show from PCJ Radio International, which next year will celebrate its 90th anniversary. Along with many new listeners that we have attracted over the last 7 years, there are also many of you that tune in who remember the Eddie Starts and Tom Meyer days.
Things are getting to be more improvised any minute. What was the name of this beautiful piece? Nobody knows. The trouble I've seen. Kiss it up.
Over the past few years, many of you have commented that you enjoy when we go into the archives and broadcast material that hasn't been heard in decades. With a number of people asking if the Happy Station Show and Radio Nederland archives will be made available. And guess what? Yes. That's right. Yes. The answer is yes.
Can you imagine when Happy Station was only 7 years old, you started listening?
I would like to invite you to become a patron at Patreon. At Patreon, you will be able to hear the latest Happy Station show. And for those who are patrons, you will have full access to unedited Happy Station shows and Radio Netherlands content, both in sound and vision, from the past 89 years. All these sound recordings have been remastered from the original tapes and discs. And let's talk about films for a moment. That's right, Happy Station did produce some films. And we went back to this production studio and remastered them. Now just look at how the original 16mm print looked before. But after spending numerous hours going frame by frame, now look at it.
It was really only a hunch. I had an intuition that he had style enough.
Now, I know that many of you right now would like to see and hear these historical programs. Well, guess what? It's time for you to become a patron at Patreon. Those who become patrons at Patreon will be helping to support the digitization of all these tapes and films.
The story is about to start. You cross your fingers, you hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
And those who are patrons will also get rewards like rare music recordings, rare programs, books, and much more. Also, if we reach our goal of $200 a month, PCJ Radio International will produce special programs that will be broadcast on shortwave for you. So come on now, show your support today, become a patron at Patreon. For more information, visit www.patreon.com/PCJ Radio.
Paramaribo, 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 Paramaribo.
You say I need a rest, why don't I go and see my sister way out west? That's very thoughtful of you, dear, I'm really touched by all this tenderness. But us women are suspicious things, we know that men aren't born with wings. What's making you so kind? Smart, but I'm not blind. I think that you've got evil on your mind. You think that you've been good about as long as most red-blooded he-men could. We've been together for so long, I know another's pasture's looking good. Men don't look at me that certain way from time to time. Don't think that you're the only one that must contend with evil on your mind. Your mind is set on a harem and surrounded by exotic dancing girls. You're hearing pretty music as they run their slender fingers through your curls. Ah, cling on, baby! I thank you for the flowers and the candy, honey, that was very kind. For that's your way of telling me you're sorry for the evil on your mind. Evil on your mind.
Evil on my mind, Ella Fitzgerald. Anyway, we're nearly out of time. Just a quick reminder that next week on the program, we are presenting our third in our series of Happy Station specials that we're presenting on the last Sunday of every month, leading up to our 90th anniversary in the month of November. Also, the week after, which is the first show of April, so for April the 8th, we will be presenting a special Happy Station program because it is a long holiday, and also for April the 1st. So we have two holiday programs coming up for the 1st and 8th of April. Anyway, we're going to leave you today with Chris Hines and Trains and Boats and Planes. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Parent wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir. Oh, wait a second. There was one more thing that I wanted to tell you, our email address, which I forgot, pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. So let me just retake that extra. So just pretend that we actually stopped the recording and made an edit. Well, of course we didn't. But it is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. So until next time, friends, here we go again. So until next time, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Thank you.